Everybody, thanks for tuning back in. This is Raul with the Drifting on Memories podcast show. I'm really excited. I'm always excited to talk to good guests, especially the ones with a lot of history in this lowrider culture. So today I'm sitting down with Ruben Bugs Ochoa, just long time painter, long time in lowrider game, long time builder. Car club history, just a ton of really interesting history as far as like the culture of low riding with movies and clubs and TV shows even. But before I get into talking to Ruben, I did definitely want to shout out Mark Aragon for making this happen. If you guys don't know who Mark is, you should check out all his stuff. It's on YouTube. He posts a lot of stuff on Instagram. All the cool stuff he's doing and all the cool stuff that he's been a part of for years and years about low riding. Mark is really the Mr. Do-It-Yourself media guy for a lot of years, almost 20 years probably, just doing all this filming and all these great interviewing. So for me, seeing somebody who's been doing this a lot longer is a really cool thing. So definitely I would suggest, everybody kind of checking out his stuff and, if you want to know about lowrider history and a lot of old, interviews, definitely check that out. So a big thank you to Mark. All right, Bugs, how you doing, man?
Good. Yeah.
Thanks for doing this, bro. So I think I've been hearing your name for a lot of years and I've been hearing your work and what you've been doing. And I think the one that stands out the most is as a painter and just kind of this really artistic view of low riding that you've had for many years. But talking to you now, you have the car club history, you have the history of the early, 70s car clubs, and low riding with your Boulevard. But I do want to ask you about the painting. How many years have you been painting?
Officially, I would say about, 52
years.
Okay. I started learning in 67, 68.
Wow. Okay.
But when you're a kid, you can only put together X amount of hours in a week, a month, summertime. So
how old were you when you started then? Because you said a kid.
Oh, 13.
You were 13 years old painting?
Yeah, I was 13. Well, I kept bugging this body shop.
Oh, right.
I would pass by and, hey, can I work for you? Can I work for you? Nah, get out of here. Get out of here. And it was Harold's. And on, it was called on Brooklyn and Lorena or Brooklyn and Cesar Chavez.
Chavez now, yeah.
So finally, I bugged them long enough and, come on in and sweep and do this and pick up the dog shit. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I was happy to have making something 50 cents an hour.
Okay. But you knew that's what you wanted to do at that age?
Well,
you knew,
no, like, oh, I wanted a there. Different... Well, before all of that, when I was 8 going on 9 years old, mm-hmm, I seen this candy red 59. And I didn't know. It just glowed and stood out. Mm-hmm. And I had to fucking touch it. Mm-hmm. And I hear a voice out of the windows, mm-hmm, telling me, get the fuck away from my car. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and,
So you grew up in East LA right there?
Yeah.
Right off of Brooklyn?
Close by there. I actually grew up right on Malabar. And Indiana.
Oh, off Indiana. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And right there they filmed Blood In, Blood Out, by the big tree and
Okay.
Well, all kinds.
So that's all your neighbor.
Cheech and Chong filmed their stuff there.
When did you start painting though? When did you actually start like?
My first cars was in I had to take over for one of the painters.
Okay.
At Harold's.
Uh-huh.
This guy was doing flames. you know, and he showed me how to lay out the flames, and so I started laying out the flames, follow him, learn, oh, this is what you do, and then he would paint them in, we tape them up, he showed me a proper way to do it, and how to measure, how to get, not exact, but close. And even then, you still use tape to kind of measure the closeness from one side to another side.
For flames on the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
And show me what to use. I learned it.
You did that.
I used it.
Okay.
And the guy got busted.
So the painter, the painter that got busted.
Yeah.
So but you're next in line?
The only one that knew how to do flames. The other painters, you know, they were paint.
Okay.
They paint, you know, doing full cars. I didn't learn how to do that yet, but this other guy would just come, like, for special jobs.
Oh, got you.
And so he got busted, and I guess he was gone for, like, 60 or 90 days. But okay. After a couple of weeks when they got the news, hey, can you do this? And I go, I think so, you know. And so I did one.
Were you, how old were you, like teenager?
13.
13?
13, yeah.
Did you get a chance to paint already?
Yeah.
At that, that's crazy. Okay.
13.
Did you know at that time, you know, that you wanted to paint lowrider cars?
I knew when I was 8 going on 9 years old.
That's what you want to do.
When I seen that candy red paint job of Bill Hines.
Yeah. Oh, it was a Bill Hines
paint? Yeah. Okay. I asked the owner of the car. And he was like, well, Bill Hines did it and blah, blah. These guys are like, I don't know, 12, 13 years older than me.
Yeah.
Even older than my oldest brother. My brother is about 11 years older than me. Mm-hmm. I knew.
Right there.
I want to do that.
You want to do that.
So when I ran across that and then the flames and intrigue, and then I would see couple of lowriders here and there, classics of East LA, and
what clubs were back then?
Oh shit, man, there was
what years are we talking about right here?
We're talking about 63 64 65.
Shit.
I remember a friend of mine, his name is Fernando. Now his older brother was in the classics of East LA. And then another guy, Larry Seitz, he was in the classics. And I seen 4 or 5 of these lowriders are all cruising together. Like, wow, that looks bad.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we also seen, I seen the Imperials.
Okay.
The Gestapo.
Uh-huh.
And then there was other clubs, and they were kind of like intermixed.
Okay.
Part hot rods, part lowriders.
Okay.
But
they were from all the area, from the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
There. Okay.
Right.
What came first, though, I think, for you? Was it the love for art and painting and then lowriding, or lowriding
led to the love for the art?
The art. Okay. Okay.
I mean, that candy apple, I mean, it just
changed your world, huh?
Stuck in my mind. It just... Okay. It was there. I want to learn how to do that.
So you stayed at the shop until your teenage years?
I would go off and on because you didn't always have work. I mean, you come after school. You come on a Saturday. I was still playing baseball, football.
Right. You're still a kid.
Yeah, kid doing what I want to do. And then the 13 years old. So... The year before, I had seen the Dukes in 65. I remember it was the summer of 65. They were cruising and their bombs. And I was playing baseball at a park close to where they lived in South Central.
Yeah. And you seen them?
By Jefferson High. And I seen them. And I seen one particular Pearl car.
Mm.
You know, so... I'd seen a couple of different colors, and then I seen a Pearl car, and then I seen the stock cars, but they looked bad because
so that
they had even more lowriders.
Yeah, and all that kept sparking your interest in
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then of course I would see the hot rods with the flames.
Okay.
And I studied.
Okay.
And my brother took me to R.G. Canning car show.
Okay.
And I'm like,
12, now you're really exposed
12,
to what?
Yeah, yeah, I'm okay. Like 12 years old, and I see the same car, the 59 Candy
okay.
Red.
Okay.
Bill Hines.
Bill Hines car.
Bill Hines, a couple, but man, I seen this whole row of custom cars.
Yeah.
Hot rods, boats, one lowrider.
One lowrider. I'm surprised.
And it was painted, and yeah, and it was R.G. Canning car show.
Yeah.
And Larry Watson had a roll, two rolls, boats, motorcycles, custom hot rods.
Yeah.
Cars of the Stars, Sammy Davis's car, wow. Somebody else's car, and then he had this light bulbs, like about 160 light bulbs.
The display light bulbs.
Yes,
yeah.
And like if you go to some paint stores, there's like little plastic parts. And you'll see all these different colors. Maybe they got 60 colors or whatever. He had 160.
Yeah.
And the first thing I asked my older brother, and I go, man, who's that guy? Oh, he's best painter around. He's in these magazines.
Okay.
So I looked up Hot Rod Magazine, and I go, I'm going to go work for that guy when I get older.
Wow.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I was just amazed. I mean, you know, like.
Did you feel like. Did you feel like, oh, we could paint lowriders like that? Or did you feel like this is, or we should paint lowriders that way? You know what I mean? Or what did you feel about, how did you feel that can mix in, the custom hot rod car can mix in with lowrider cars?
Just by seeing that 59.
Just by seeing that.
Oh, a Candy Red. Oh, man. And then Larry Watson had like 6-7 different versions of red.
Okay.
6-7 different versions of yellows, pinks, greens, blues, pearls, candies, and House of Colors wasn't even out.
Wasn't even around.
And then there was another candy apple, and when they did come around with their first charts, they probably only had 50, 60 colors. Mm-hmm. Larry Watson, 5-10 years before them. Kosmowski, he stole them colors from the West Coast because, like, he would come out to the West Coast and they would mention his name. Mm-hmm. Then they would have the older guys and they were painting I was working for, Yalos and Larry Seitz and Watson. He came and just stole all our colors. What do they know? What do they know in the East Coast?
In the East Coast,
they're always under the snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know.
So So then you started, you started painting cars like that, and at the time in East LA, I'm assuming you got lowrider cars, right? So, people were bringing in lowrider cars.
Actually, I started out with Volkswagens.
Okay.
Volkswagens. I mean, because you couldn't afford a bigger car then, but you can piece together a Volkswagen.
Okay.
And, you know, was pretty easy. I mean, I cracked up when, how are we going to put in a new engine? You just get three guys lifted up and put it in the engine.
Okay.
And I learned from the other friends, the mechanics, and they go, hey, your engine blew out. We got you a new engine.
Hey, but at the time, Bugs, what, because I get a lot of painters and young painters and everybody, and now it's a big thing when they find a Murano, when they find a, like the old candies and stuff. What were you painting with back then? What were the ones that stick out to you?
Okay, lacquers.
Lacquers.
Now,
yeah.
Larry Watson was painting with lacquers, and Crazy Art was painting with lacquers and acrylic lacquers. And I cracked up because these guys, they go, oh man, that's a lifestyle color, that butterscotch. And I go, that's no lifestyle color. Crazy Art was painting that color and Larry Watson was painting that color in the 50s, late 50s. I got pictures, butterscotch, When did you guys start
people
your club?
People want to give House of Color everybody all the credit, huh? They say, oh, that's a House of Color. And then for you, you're like, no, man, I saw that color back in the 60s.
In the 60s. Shit. And I, when I worked for them, they would give me a little history if I got lucky, you know.
Okay. So you spent some time working with them, huh? Well, you said Bill Carter, Larry Watson. Who
Larry
was
Watson.
It?
Crazy Art. Mm-hmm. Larry Seitz. He might not be a name that you know that stands out.
Right.
But there was a lot of guys like Larry Seitz, Kabusi, Zeke. A lot of guys from the valley, you know.
Right.
That maybe they only did 7 or 8 cars. Mm-hmm. But they were badass.
Yeah.
They were the trendsetters. Mm. Crazy Art did all kinds. Carter was doing a lot. And Carter was famous for the funny cars. Mm-hmm. You know, and he got inducted to the Hot Rod Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice thing to have for him in Pomona, Fairgrounds, the museum. And in those books in the late 60s, early 70s, there was no lowrider magazine. There was, only Hot Rod.
Hot Rod, yeah.
Only Hot Rod and then other stuff. Or LA Sports Arena, R.G. Canning, where you would see all this stuff that Carter did, that Junior did, that Ron's from the Valley.
But those guys were just painting customs, huh?
They were painting. And
then I feel like your generation came in and started taking a lot of those techniques, a lot of those teachings, and started painting lowriders. Is that right?
Exactly. Number one, we were probably like in a level of pay, 2-3 steps beneath Carter, Watson. Well, shoot, you couldn't touch Watson. I mean, God dog, he was.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Bugs. I hear what you're saying. You're saying their master class and what they do, they're the best at it at that time, right?
Right.
But going back to what I had said, here comes a new wave of these Chicano lowriders coming in and taking techniques or taking, you know, learning from these guys. Here's my question though, bro. Could those custom, badass custom painters paint like you guys?
Now this is where I'm going to distinguish painters from graphic artists. A new wave of stuff came in using the flake and adding patterns to it, or using candies and adding patterns to it. And Walt developed a style, and then other people started using the style. Carter and then Crazy Art. Crazy Art was like just way ahead of his time in patterns and stuff. And you see something, but I'm going to do this a little different. I'm going to mix this with that and mix this with that. And us being younger and hardware workers and used to low pay, any kind of pay was good pay.
Thus and comes in lowrider car pay.
Yeah, so now the lowriders and the local guys are saying, hey, man, I think I can do that.
That's right.
The guys who started painting for all these places, Earl Shive, all that. Hey, how do you do that? Well, this is for the base. This is for the candy.
Yeah.
Then you use the patterns.
You all started teaching each other.
That looks cool. And then we know we could experiment, and we're not going to get paid a lot, but all these established body shops.
I like
it, man.
I like it because you guys, you're almost saying like we took a chance on ourselves.
Exactly.
We took a chance on, we know we're not going to get paid a lot. We can experiment it. We're not doing this car for some, you know, rich person.
Right.
Like those custom cars were. Right. Now, you said a guy, you said Crazy Art.
Crazy Art, Fullington, yeah.
I didn't know I didn't really, honestly, I'm more of a student of the lowrider culture. So when you say, you know, Bill Carter, I hear these names, yeah. Larry Watson, I hear the names, right. But to me, I'm not a big, not all that interested in, like, right. When you talk about, you know, you, Danny D, Mario Gomez, all the, right? Yeah. But here's Crazy Art painted a Riviera boat tail.
And he, a couple of them, yeah.
Okay. But there is one particular one that I'm talking about, Sex Pistol.
Right.
Now, that car is, and when you said it, like, he's ahead of his time, that car really, for me, is one of the cars that sticks out the most of the 70s low riding. And it's just, when you see it now, if people could even get close to matching something like that,
right.
I mean, it's fucking a great car. And it was a great car back then. It, if we were to see it today, we'd be, like, fucking blown away.
Well, what's so
whose car was that?
The original owners... Larry and Gary Dominguez, and Crazy Art, painted all the graphics, and, we got it in the movie,
Heartbreaker,
Wheels of Fire, and it was a featured car, and, you see the little midget running around the trunk of the car with a bat, and,
At the show,
and I turned down when I owned it.
So you had the car.
I turned down Cheech Marin to be in Born in East L.A.
With that car?
With that car.
Okay.
And I turned him down. And
how was it owning that car? Who did the interior to?
Bob and Sons.
Bob and Sons interior.
Bob and Sons, you know. He did the interior of... of that one and Raul Hoyle's Technical Ecstasy.
Now, was and, your car, Sex Pistol, was it almost like, okay, Imperial's got that one, and we got this one, kind of like that? Yeah. Was it like a competition? What was
yeah,
it like?
There's yeah, always competition. There's always competition. And so, like, sometimes he would win, and I remember losing because... I wouldn't cover up the murals or the pictures. Crazy Art invented a technique. We would get Playboy
That's magazines. Right, man. I remember the murals now. Yeah.
Yeah. Playboy magazines. And then you do a certain technique, and then you clear coat over it, and you pattern over it, and you can't really see... the girl getting it from the rear end, or, you know, and getting rammed, or her tits or whatever,
yeah.
Until you got close.
Okay.
And since my car went side to side, uh-huh. The nastiest pictures were on the top.
On the top of what? Of the hood?
Of the trunk. On the sides of the roof and the top of the roof.
I got to find old pictures of it because I know yeah. that I've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen it pictures from of it at right. afar. And you're right. Like, fuck, that car's amazing, right? But then, like, even in the movie,
yeah.
when you see it up close and you're like, oh, shit, it's got tits. It's got, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So, like, at the car shows, since my car was side to side, I tilted. And then we would put a little sign right there on top and say... look real close, and we get the girls to go look at it real close, okay. And they go, "Oh, you guys are pigs!" And we go, "Ah, yeah." So
it was like in the paint.
Yeah.
Crazy Art did
yeah.
those Playboy scenes, yeah. But and they sound like more like penthouse scenes. But it was kind of
exactly.
It was like a ghost kind of. It was like
yeah,
a mural,
yeah.
ghost mural.
So you couldn't see it from
until you saw right up
5 feet away, but you get like 2 feet away,
you saw it.
Yeah, you could see
you
what's
would
happening.
You points?
Exactly. Well, what happened was ISCA, they told me, if I don't cover up these pictures, I'm disqualified and will never be allowed in the show
wow.
again. And then they told me, we're going to pull it out and take it out of the show. You haven't changed anything. And they're wow. going, I ain't.
Yeah.
I ain't. Well, you're disqualified and you never can come... And wow. one of these shows again with that car or your name. And I go, yeah, so what?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And I didn't care. And Raul Hoyle was in the same
category
car show.
Oh, okay.
Huh. And but his pitchers were more kind of like calm down.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And but they still told him to to cover.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh wow.
And he covered them, and wow. and I go, I can cover that, man. He goes, ah, shit, you know, I don't know, maybe you're right. Can you do these over like you did yours? And I go, I can make them more nasty like I did mine's, you know? Yeah, but, and he goes, oh, never mind.
The murals, yeah.
It was a technique, a paint technique, crazy art use. And this was funny because Lifestyle tried to duplicate that, but theirs kept bubbling up. And I remember in a show, the Sex Pistol versus Joe Ray's...
Dress to Kill?
No.
Before that?
Lincoln.
Pink Floyd went
Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Pink Floyd was bad. Floyd was Gary Baca.
I know.
And he
Gary Baca painted that.
Gary Baca. And that was a special kind of toner.
I might have even liked lacquer. It more. Than
in lacquer. It was badass.
Yeah.
And so they for made Vegas the
Vegas one.
Before the Vegas, they made it the Hollywood car.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Hollywood car.
With
a
real,
you're right.
It looked really great concept. Yeah. But his pictures kept bubbling. And then I beat him in a car show for Best Multicolor, Crazy Art.
With Sex Pistol?
Yeah, with a Sex Pistol. And a lot of people didn't understand it. With all them patterns, and I had to match up a whole quarter panel and part of a door when they wrecked into it. But Crazy Art didn't use a striper.
There's no stripes on there. It's just patterns.
It's all patterns. Wow. And you couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
There's no striping or no jagged lines.
Right.
Because he was just immaculate.
What happened on that car?
It was sold to Japan.
Oh, okay.
And you see it. And I think the owners in Japan, mm-hmm. they used some of his old patterns that they could save. Mm-hmm. And they did new patterns over it.
They sold it when it got wrecked?
No.
You took care of it? Okay.
I painted all that.
And then they sold it?
And then I sold it to somebody in Miami.
Okay.
And that guy kept it a couple of years, and he sold it to Japan. And then what I seen in pictures is somebody repainted parts of it.
Wow.
But you could still see particular styles. But most that I focused in on was it still had the same upholstery, Bob and Sons.
Bob and Sons upholstery.
You know, and as we're talking, Bob and Sons lives across the street. I don't know if he's still alive.
Oh, wow. Well,
he did
know.
The upholstery.
I didn't know he was that close. By the way, for the listeners, we just had dinner with Mark at the at the Norms right here in Pico Rivera off of Rosemead. All right. So what club were you in?
I'm one of the original members from group started up in 1971. Okay. And I was in the group until 1976. I was president in 76. And
71 to 76, you were in the club? Yeah.
And they called that the golden years, the first 5 years.
Yeah. For a group?
Yeah. And they peaked in 74 with about 200 members.
About 200 members?
One chapter.
From one chapter, wow.
And we were running the car shows 74, 75.
Wow.
My car... the Superstitious 65 Bob and Son Interiors beat out Gypsy Rose's car.
Really?
For interior.
Wow.
And
74 you said this was?
75.
Wow.
Gene Ariola's Riviera, nice candy pearl, also a Bob and Son's interior, was the first lowrider on the turntable.
Okay.
My car was the second lowrider on the turntable.
That's your 60, what did you say? What?
65.
65.
Ford Galaxy. And
Galaxy, okay.
I had, it was a kicking ass paint job. Candy red.
Yeah.
Bob and Son interiors. Showed engine, showed trunk.
Wow.
And that's how I was able to beat out Gypsy Rose.
Wow.
Because they called it the upholstery in the trunk as part of points.
Okay.
But he had that pink look. It was
Yeah.
Still beautiful.
Well, yeah.
And And we learned that if you add accessories, like little TV here.
Okay.
And my TV points. Worked.
Yeah.
And okay. I actually put coffin lights in the sides.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I noticed a couple of years later that Jesse put little, like, chandeliers in the light.
Yeah,
and I remember talking to him. He goes, I can't believe how you beat me. I go, well, look here. You get extra points.
For all these accessories, yeah.
He goes, that's right. That's right. Okay. And so. Yeah.
So you gave the Gypsy Rose some ideas.
Gil and his brothers, they
they
were superior. Yeah, they were great. I mean, you know, like, to me, their upholstery was like two sluggers, you know.
Yeah.
One's hitting 71 home runs.
Yeah.
The other one's hitting 65.
Right.
And Bob and Sons didn't win.
Yeah.
Then Gil and Jesse, his family... upholstery business would be winning.
Okay.
They had a lot of... They did some great jobs.
So there's the shows, and everybody's building and painting these badass cars, lowriding. For me, it's the golden era of lowriding, you know, those 70s years. And
70s is where all these guys stepped up and elevated the bar.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And, I mean, when... these guys like Baca and Big Ed and other painters, Kabusi, other guys that probably only did two or three custom paint jobs.
Yeah.
Some maybe did 10.
Yeah.
You know. But there was unique styles. But to get those styles and get that, time consuming.
Right, right, right.
And then if you had to use a pinstriper,
yeah.
Oh my God, man. Wall you better not you better not include that in the paint job.
Okay.
You pay them separate.
Separate.
Okay. Yeah. And because
you're gonna take longer?
Or what? It's gonna take longer and then you're paying for their work.
Right.
But it's part of the paint job.
Yeah.
I didn't learn until after my second paint job. I'm not paying for your pinstriping.
Yeah.
You pay for that. Just like, why would I be paying for your engine? I don't rebuild engines.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah, you're just painting. And so, in those times, for me, like I said, it was really, and you're right. You see it. They raised the bar. All these lowrider cars came out, and everybody was competition. But then there was the ugly side of it, too. Right, Bugs? And that's the side of the bumper jacking, the wars.
Right,
the,
right.
What was that like, bro? What was that like? Even neighborhoods, right? You couldn't fly plaque.
Oh yeah, man. And I'll tell you this. My God, man. Amon in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I learned when I was like
notorious
7 years old, man.
Notorious Monte. Yeah.
Fuck, man. I like my brother from East LA, and my family was involved in gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I remember being 7 years old, and here's one of my older brothers saying, if you ever go to Monte, you better take at least 50 guys from East LA. And he's talking about the legendary dances they would have there.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And with Art LeBeau and
LeBeau dances,
Huggy Boy
uh-huh.
and whoever.
The memories and, of Monte.
And so that was true. In 1973, here it is about 12 years later, you know, we're going to a dance in Almani, and then we talk about it at a meeting, and hey, wait a minute. If we're from East LA, we got to take 50 or more guys to that kind of dance.
You're in group at the time.
Yes, in group.
And you guys were going.
And they go, why? Monte Flores. And then they go, and I'm only like 19. And I go, well, it's not our neighborhood. And that's, well, you know, it's a dance place. And anyway.
Well, they didn't believe you.
Then anyway, everybody is mandatory to go.
Oh, okay.
Paul, Big Paul.
Okay.
There. Oh, man, great guy.
Yeah.
Paul Varela. So we're show up with 100 plus. Now we feel comfortable.
Okay. 100+ guys from the club.
Group, all flying colors.
All go to Amani, the dance.
And Amani Legion Stadium.
Yeah.
And so
you guys
here
are
comes
deep.
Here comes a small gang. Monteflores runs them out. Beats up on them, run them out. Didn't even have enough security to run a Monte out.
Wow.
And the guys promoting it, they didn't. Oh, just a little scuffle. They go back to the music, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And dance continues. But
there is Flores guys now there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they're making it known.
And
it's their neighborhood.
Exactly. So there's about 40 of them. We counted 35, maybe 40. And so guys from Bachelors were there.
Oh, yeah. The Bachelors Limited.
And Bachelors, they had about 60 guys there.
Yeah.
You know, I remember talking to a couple of their guys, and they got ran out.
They got ran out.
They got beaten up and run out.
But you guys were cool. You guys were there.
Well, we were there, and they started to fight with the Bachelors, and they ran the Bachelors out, and, you know, they were getting their cars bumper jacked in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And so we all say, it's time to leave, and we're all going to leave together. Yeah. Paul Burrell tells everybody it's time to leave. So we're leaving, and guys from Monte Flores, and they go, you Vatos are next. And he goes, so you better watch out. And fucking Paul goes, throws the whistles, everybody comes.
Assemble.
You got anything to say now, I said? And we'll catch you on the rebound. And then, and Paul goes, yeah, yeah, I thought you'd say that. So we walk out. Well, we're already out. You know, we're worried about our cars getting bumper jacked. It's time to leave. So, and then they're assembled. And then, so we didn't have no blows with them.
Okay.
But it was,
yeah,
it was kind of like the end for Bachelors.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they constantly stood on them.
Wow.
Yeah. And
yeah, I think there was
Monte Flores
members in there.
They ended at least 5 car clubs that I know of.
Oh,
yeah.
Just that.
Brown
that,
Occasions. The
that
Vincent's.
That gang right there. That neighborhood ended about 5 car clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to Gypsy Rose a little bit and Chico and the Man.
Oh my God! Probably the most heartbreaking thing that happened to us was
they approached you guys for that.
We did a documentary for Montezuma Esparza called Celebration in 73, and the filming went all the way to 74.
Okay,
and they did our cars cruising from the group, and we had 65 cars lined up for them on a Saturday. They followed us around and in a caravan. And
they were filming you guys.
And they were filming us. And then they also filmed music, like Los Lobos, and they filmed Quinceañeras.
Yeah.
They filmed basically Chicano culture.
Nice, yeah.
And they also came back and they filmed one of the group's anniversaries.
Oh, okay. And one of the dances for group?
Yeah, it was a sit-down banquet anniversary.
Banquet. Right.
And so that was all part of the documentary.
The documentary, okay.
And I was surprised when people from Texas told me, hey, we seen that documentary. On
So it was Carter. Already, it was the documentary came out. It was like on a TV, on a TV network. All right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so then they told us, look, we're going to give you the first shot at a TV series coming out.
Okay.
And we're going to have a cruising scene.
Yeah.
So it's going to be in 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
And
you didn't know what TV show it was for?
No, they didn't tell us.
And you guys said, we'll do it?
Yeah, we'll do it. But then a couple of weeks before that, we were having blows with Click Car Club.
With Click, okay.
Yeah, we were at war with Click.
With Click, okay.
And anyway, when we rolled up with the homegrown 66 marijuana leaf car. Mm-hmm. That was kind of our image group.
Okay.
You know, and right. the Gypsy Rolls and Imperials, mm-hmm. that was their image.
Right.
So.
And your guys's was that green?
Marijuana leaf, uh-huh. homegrown.
65?
66.
What year was, 66. Who, you painted that
yeah,
car?
Yeah, I painted that.
Okay.
That's probably one of my most known cars, especially back in those days.
Right, okay.
It won me a lot of, actually, it won me my first best paint.
Wow, okay.
And I'm going against the big boys.
And you're going, yeah.
Watson, yeah. Crazy yeah. Art.
Wow.
Yeah. Bill Hines, you know. Yeah. And
so that was the car that's representing the club, like, and yeah. that was your paint job, right. and that was, okay,
66. And then my 66 Impala. 65 Candy Red, and we're both lifted with wires.
Yeah.
And
but this is an Impala, though, on the 66.
The 66,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay.
And,
what was it called?
Homegrown.
Homegrown, all right. And
my 65 was called Superstitious.
All right.
And
so there you are, ready for the,
yeah,
to and, be in the show.
And we roll up. And we start talking to Montezuma Esparza and their other crew. And we see the guys from Click right across the street. And I know for a fact, 10, 15 minutes, they got a stronghold. They could be back with 20, 30 guys.
Were they supposed to be in the show too or something? Or
no, they were just spectators. Just,
yeah. Oh, they were
You know, they had the streets all blocked off.
Okay.
And, you know, there's filming there.
Okay.
You know, and all the looky-loos okay. are there. Or,
oh, okay. Or, but Click happened to be just
yes.
there looking.
And, yeah. and I looked, and I go, oh, shit. And then the guy from Homegrown, Harry, he goes, oh, man, what do we do? And I go, well, we're okay. We got enough guys here. But he goes, this motherfucker's going to start something. And I go, so I had to make a decision. And Harry was already on his way out. You know, he's from Pasadena. And once I told him they could be back in half an hour, 20, 30 guys. And the other guys with us, Warlock and a couple of other guys, they go, well, we can go and get guys. And I go, and have a big shoot on in the middle of
yeah.
something.
At a TV show.
Cut it out, yeah, man. Yeah, it's going to yeah. be in the 10 o'clock news,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this program will never go out.
Yeah, right.
And so Montezuma tells me, he goes, no, we got security. Mm-hmm. And we got cops here. And I go, those are rent-a cops, man. Come on. get real, you know.
What are they going to do?
And and anyway, so... No, are you sure? And but one of the other guys that was on the film crew
yeah.
goes, we got back up, and, uh-huh. and the name Gypsy Rose was mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I go, I think you should go with him. He lives two or three blocks down.
Oh, wow.
They gave him a call.
And who was this? What show was this?
This were Chico and the Man.
For Chico
and we didn't the even man. Know the name. We didn't even know the name until maybe a couple of weeks after.
So the most iconic right. scene of a lowrider history, Chico right. the Man, it could have been a group car.
It could have been maybe three cars, because Elisho's car was in there with his glass house. Mm-hmm. And it was just a stock car.
Yeah.
With lifts.
Yeah, okay.
Stock color.
Yeah.
Vinyl top.
Mm-hmm. Paper plate.
Nice stock car with lifts and wires.
Yeah.
And and we could see my best paint job right there and my Candy Red paint job with wires and lifts.
So you guys bounced.
And I had to make a decision. Yeah. I made a decision.
To not have a full-on war right there.
Because in my mind, all I can see is
bad. Yeah. It's going to be bad. Yeah.
Yeah, shoot off.
So that's how bad it was between you guys then.
Yeah, well, you know what?
It was on the spot, like that kind of.
It was a lot of times toe-to-toe on the middle of Boulevard. It was exciting. It was fun. Getting your car bumper jacked or somebody else's car bumper jacked, of course, that's no fun. Bumper jacking cars, that was fun. The fucking girls, man. Oh, my God, man. The girls cruising.
Yeah.
That was... But I remember the Sons of Soul. Man, they really... beat the shit out of one of the car clubs and went in their lot.
Yeah.
And they come right past me and they go, you guys are next. And, I knew half of the sons, so I went to high school, junior high with them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were cool guys and they had bitching cars.
Yeah, okay.
They had bitching fucking cars.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were straight black.
Mm.
And they had some candy, some patterns and stuff. But a lot of them, they just went for that mysterious...
That mean kind
black of... Black lacquer.
Mean kind of lacquer.
Black lacquer. And,
they just already had that essence, that like, that feel, that vibe, that they're just a mean...
When
mean
we dudes made that movie, Heartbreaker, when we made that movie, and I told part of that story, and I won the rights to work it. I got every car for every car show scene.
Nice.
Every car.
Yeah.
Every scene. And then it was too overwhelming for me. Because I even had to duplicate one of Crazy Art's jobs.
Oh, wow.
It was a front cover. It was owned...
That's Sex Pistol in that car.
That car's in there, too.
Yeah.
But the replacement of the Sex Pistol car...
Yeah.
The Sex Pistol's replacing...
Yeah.
A Crazy Art job. It was a... A glass house.
Oh, okay.
It was a fucking glass house. Fucking beautiful paint
what
job.
What happened? Was it in the movie?
Yes. It set it on fire.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to duplicate.
His first car.
Yeah. So I had to duplicate the front end.
Of that car.
Of that car.
Why?
Because they're not going to burn up the original one.
No.
It belonged to Michael Brown.
Yeah.
Crazy Art paint job.
Yeah.
Bobinson's interior.
Yeah.
Badass car. And so some of the stuff, I got relieved of it while I'm working on it to fill in the scene. And then they fucking tell me, they go, oh, man, we can't burn a whole car. We can only burn the front end.
Of a car.
Fire restrictions.
Uh-huh, right.
In the place and this and that. And I go, and we'll go down to this guy, Joe Halls. And I go, hey, Joe, do you know where we can get another car, Caprice, in a junkyard or something?
Cause glass house.
Yeah.
To burn, yeah.
Yeah. And then anyway, he goes, maybe let's talk to Richard, Richard Shark. And then I told Richard, I go, hey, Richard.
Can we burn your car?
Exactly. Set that motherfucker on fire. We got a week. We got the car for it. And we only burn the front end of it.
He said, yeah, let's
for
do
the
it.
Movie.
Yeah.
I only have to paint it.
Okay.
And they replace it with a real burnt car after.
Yeah.
And collect insurance.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy. Get paid for the part. Joe Hall hauls the stuff over there and puts it at the body shop. Gets paid for that. Gets paid for the front end.
Wow.
Gets paid. And then at the end of the shooting, they go, hey, can you get your friend to move it out? And he goes, yeah, but it's going to cost you X amount of more money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You're robbing us blind. And two producers that are real good guys.
Yeah.
They're both Germany.
Okay.
From Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Andrews. Mm-hmm.
For Heartbreaker.
Yeah. And... the other Chris, I forgot his name. Real good guys.
Yeah. What about that other movie, bro? What about Boulevard Nights?
Oh, Boulevard Nights, Tony Bill just straight out stole the story from me, my brother. My brother is Chuko. He interviewed workers and car clubs for 3.5 days for the first great Western exhibit, 1977, I put that show together with Spirit and the Imperials, and Tony Bill saw an opportunity because he was looking to make a movie, and he got his writers, and he got his workers, and in the Great Western exhibit, while we're setting up and marking off the place, he asked for a room and we gave it to him And I got my hands full, and he's interviewing like you're interviewing right now for 3.5 days. And he sees my brother with the big blocks on his black, on his back. GL.
Mm-hmm. Barrio GL.
Garrity, the big VGL.
Okay.
The big GVL. What does that stand for? Mm-hmm. Stand for?
Right.
Barrio Garrity Lomas.
And it's tattooed on your brother or how? Or
in blocks.
In blocks.
In blocks.
Okay.
On and the what back.
Is, and he talks
back
to your brother?
Yeah.
What does
interview,
he say?
Well, he got part of the homeboy shit.
Did right? he ask him what that meant or anything?
Yeah, they were right there. In fact, they kept asking him, say that again. Say that again.
Say what again?
The big GVL.
Damn.
The big VGL. And, you know.
So
and,
you're saying, okay, let me run it back, bro. This
right.
is crazy. So what you're saying is that this, I don't know if he's a director or the writer. He goes out, he comes out to the show that you're throwing with Imperials, Spirit and
right.
Imperials, all right?
Right.
He comes out there. He's for a 3-day show, and he's out there. You
the
know.
The show is one day.
Okay.
Setup's another day.
Okay.
And
oh.
then. And then marking off all the spaces mm-hmm. Is another day.
Okay, so for so
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
He's
actually,
there.
4 days, yeah.
You guys know who he is. He's a writer or director or whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And he even asked for a separate room where he could just...
Yes.
So and
Tony
so
Bill.
So you already know he's like looking to get
right.
ideas.
Right.
But what you're saying is that he meets your little brother.
Right.
And your brother from the neighborhood.
Right.
That's Vario Garrity Loma.
Yeah, that's
and that's Big VGV.
Yeah.
Because he even said it like that. What
yeah.
does that mean? And he said big, wow.
Well, anyway, they add another V to it and a big GVV, you know?
Yeah.
VGV.
You're right.
Vario Garrity Lomas with the L.
Right.
But they use Grande Vista.
Vista, yeah.
Okay. Grande Vista is one block.
Yeah, right.
One block.
Yeah.
And there's
yeah.
no other Grande
there's
Vista.
No other, no,
there's no,
no
gang called Grande Vista.
LA, no.
So anyway, so then he studies my stories. He studies Jesse's stories. I had told him where I worked at Gill's. Mm. I worked at Gill's, you know.
The upholstery and, shop in the movie.
Of course, they do that in every movie. They might make one scene a little bit different from
right,
the other one.
From real life.
They make
right.
the painter into a posterior.
So you were working you know, at the shop like
yes.
like his brother, like Chuco's brother in the movie.
I'm the painter.
Damn.
Chuco's the poster. I mean, the,
and that's
the
your
brother's
brother
the
from
poster.
The neighborhood.
And
wow.
so many other things.
Damn, Bugs, that's
the
crazy.
Marriage, the marriage scene,
uh-huh.
The cars in the marriage,
wow, man.
The part where my brother gets into argument with a guy from Azusa.
Okay.
Little Capone. My shop's in Covina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a couple of cars from Azusa.
Mm-hmm.
And a neighborhood comes down. And, of course, my brother and Capone, Little Capone, confront each other and... And I have to tell my brother, hey, you can't work here. You
that happened
here.
In
that
real
happened.
Life. But
and
you shared that story with
yeah,
them?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
They interviewed us. They did, you know,
yeah.
and they picked. And you know, then there was plenty of other too many coincidences.
In the
and,
movie.
And just the fact that yeah. he was there interviewing for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And they say it's a fictitious story. You know,
right. no,
they
no,
got
no.
it
it's
out
based
of the Great
on
Western.
Yeah.
And you know, like... the movie propelled low riding worldwide.
Yeah, for sure.
Worldwide.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, it felt good to come to Pico Rivera over here.
Right.
And at that time, I owned another car, Candy Red, a car that they're working on in that movie with orchids.
Oh, okay.
That Metal was your, Flake.
Uh-huh. That was your car?
Yes, it was my car too. Painted by... Kabusi.
Okay.
And from East LA.
What year was that car?
It was 71 Botel.
71 Botel, yeah. Yeah.
And
damn.
Oh, he had the baddest Rivi around.
Yeah.
Used to spank the Sex Pistol, Joe Reyes.
Yeah.
Dress to Kill.
Yeah.
Raw Hoyles.
Right. technical expert, yeah.
He had whole chrome undercarriage.
Okay.
In fact, we used to kind of like get upset.
Yeah.
Because we thought that he had enough modifications and so much kicking ass work on it, mm-hmm. chrome engine, chrome undercarriage, and then there would be a couple of other car clubs with no undercarriage, but a lot of body modifications.
Right.
And they win like sweepstakes. We kind of always felt like, hey, this ain't right.
Yeah.
Anyway, in 1978, right after the movie came out, mm-hmm. we raffled it away at the Great Western.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Some girl was 16 years old won it.
Really?
And her parents had to sign for it.
Wow. I've seen the flyers where you they're raffling off that Riviera.
And this is a funny part.
Wow. Okay. And that's the same Riviera from the movie.
Yeah. Sweet Sensation.
Sweet Sensation.
Sweet Inspiration.
Okay.
Painted by Raul Hoyo.
No.
Raul Castro.
Okay.
Caboosey.
Yeah.
And anyway, so... And Little John tells me, he goes, man, you're lucky none of my guys' members are...
From Majestic.
Majestic.
Won that car.
Won. And,
instead of 16-year-old girl, won it.
Yeah, and because he told me they brought close to $1,000 worth of tickets.
Of those tickets.
But we sold it in like five different...
States or something?
Different car shows.
Show. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I had a car show circuit.
You were selling the raffle tickets to win that really.
At our last car show of the year, we give it away and announce the winner.
Wow, that's cool.
And
that's cool.
So Majestics were there. Little John was there. And I go, wow, so you lost $800 or $900. He goes, we were going to bumper jacket right there. And I go, why? I don't know, but we were going to do it. I'm glad we didn't win. And I go, fuck. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Little John. And he goes, it was.
Wow.
He goes, and there's a little story behind that, too. But
well, Bugs, man, you got a lot of history. I think we're probably going to have to do it another time to get the rest. I want to ask you this. What is, last question, what is one of the paint jobs that sticks out to most to you that you really want people to see your work at, where you're like, whether it's homegrown, whether it's your Galaxy, whether it's which one for you is something that you're like, yeah, that's
well,
one of my favorites.
I'm gonna narrow it down to three that are out right now.
Okay.
Because you'll never see homegrown or the work in the 70s or 80s.
Sex Pistols.
Even 90s.
Yeah.
Right now, Compton Dave owns Guns N' Roses 62, and I think I did a really, really great job.
You did amazing job on that.
And in fact, it was good enough to be
amazing job on that.
Two front covers. They made two separate front covers for that car.
Yeah.
Another one is
I didn't know you did that car.
Yeah.
And now I feel like
an
idiot. Yeah. That car is fucking amazing, bro. That's an amazing car.
I wish he would show it more.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get him to go to Vegas this year.
Yeah, me too. David.
Yeah, David.
Show that car.
Yeah.
More.
And
yeah.
Another one is from up north. It barely came out, but I painted it over 10 years ago. It's called, it was a front cover in Street Scene magazine. Mm. It's got about a 10-page spread. Global Warming. Global Warming, badass in oranges, purples, golds. I think it's really, really
badass. What kind
badass.
Of car is that one?
64 convertible.
Okay.
It's from up north.
Okay.
And then there's Danny D 66.
Yeah.
I painted that three times.
Wow.
Three times. Wow. You know, Danny was in the learning process with me.
Panty raid.
Yeah, panty raid. And, first time I painted it one solid color, 60s color of blue, silver blue metallic, all in one nice color.
Wow.
In acrylic enamel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then we did pinks.
Okay.
And Danny was in the learning process.
Thank you. Hey, Bugs, thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you for all the stories. Thank you, Mark, for everything, man. This is really, really good. We're going to do it again.
We're off right now, right?
We're off, but I'm saying this part that I'm going to use, the thank you part.
Okay.
Thank you for your stories. Right. Thank you for the history.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark, for making it happen. This has been really good for me to hear all the inside and for all the listeners to hear the inside of all that history. Chico and the Man, Boulevard Nights, Sex Pistol. I think that's a car that doesn't get enough credit today. And then what you've been putting out now with Guns N' Roses, like just amazing stuff, man. So I really want to thank you.
And thank you.
All right.